I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Internet Marketing.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 95. Yes, 95, we're nearly at 100, aren't we? Episode 95 of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. And today, Kelvin is speaking to Susan Gonelius. She's an author, a prolific author of marketing books, including some great beginner's guides to digital marketing. All coming up on Internet Marketing.
So Susan, can you tell us a bit about your background and some of the books you've worked on? Because you've really been very prolific in the kind of digital marketing world, particularly in the kind of educational book world of digital marketing.
Well, I started my career out of college working in marketing departments for some of the biggest companies in the world, HSBC, AT&T, and really got my hands on all aspects of marketing through those opportunities. And in 2004, I gave birth to triplets, and returning to the corporate world just wasn't going to work. Mm-hmm. So I stayed at home to raise the kids, who are six now. And about a year into that, I got the itch to do something marketing related again and had an idea to write a book about copywriting to help small business owners who typically can't afford to pay a copywriter or an ad agency to create marketing communications for them. So I started studying how to publish a book and realized that the social web was the way for me to build my platform. And the rest is really history. My first book was written and published in 2007, and I am writing my eighth right now, all related to marketing, social media, branding, blogging, et cetera.
And so what's that, the book that's coming up at the moment, the one that you're working on at the moment, Susan, on that kind of thing?
Actually, I have one that's coming out within the next couple of weeks, which is called 30-Minute Social Media Marketing. And that's to teach small business owners and people who are overwhelmed by social media how you really can build a brand and build a business using the free or inexpensive tools of the social web without being intimidated or overwhelmed on a day-to-day basis. So that's that one. And then I just finished writing The Complete Idiot's Guide to WordPress, so a blogging application. Yeah, and the one that I'm just starting to write right now is Content Marketing for Dummies, which will be out in May of 2011.
So a wide variety of topics there, and I mean some quite interesting books. I mean, I'm really interested particularly in the kind of the 30-minute social media one. And so what would really be your first tips for someone kind of really starting out? Is there a particular network, or is it a kind of a step back and appreciation of the audience they need to do? What's that kind of first thing they need to do really to make that giant leap into using social media marketing?
Well, you definitely hit the nail on the head with the taking a step back and looking at the audience, because what I always tell people, small business owners in particularly, who are looking to get involved in social media marketing, is to first get out there and find your best audience. They're already hanging out online somewhere, but your goal is to find out where they are. Type in the keywords that you would use as a consumer to find a business like yours or the types of products and services that you offer. Follow the search results and find where your audience is spending time, and then join the conversation. Get on their radar screens of both online influencers and potential customers. Then in time, you can start bringing them back to your own branded online destinations. And the key with branded online destinations is setting up your core branded online destination. I usually recommend a blog just because they're so search engine friendly. And start publishing your amazing, what I call share-worthy content, content that people are going to be interested in, will find useful, and will want to share with their own audiences. And set up your other various online branded destinations, a Facebook page, a Twitter profile. The key is really surrounding consumers with branded experiences so that they can pick and choose how they want to interact with your brand. But all of these roads need to lead back to your core branded online destination.
And you think in a lot of cases that a blog's the best place for that kind of, you know, that branded destination that you're talking about there. I know we're big fanboys on the podcast of WordPress, and we always kind of tend to advocate it. Do you think it is really the only real viable blogging solution out there for people, or is it just the best of a number of good options, but WordPress tends to be the one that you'd recommend most of the time?
WordPress for businesses is absolutely what I would recommend for a variety of reasons. First of all, it's by far the most flexible, the most feature-rich, extremely easy to use and update. And it also offers you the self-hosted version where you can host your own blog through your own web host or website even, and run your entire online presence from WordPress, your blog and website, for basically for free. Mm-hmm. WordPress.org, the application, is free. It's just a matter of if you need help doing some special design or customization. Mm-hmm. But yes, definitely WordPress.org is what I recommend.
And in terms of that kind of personalization, and you know, it's quite often that you could go out to a web developer and get them to do that, but actually there's some really great themes out there, isn't there? Have you got kind of any advice about choosing a theme or places to look for those themes, Susan, that, you know, from your experience a good place to look to kind of personalize and bring on brand a WordPress web design?
Definitely. And that's actually something I wrote a book that came out earlier this year called Blogging All in One for Dummies. And I talk a lot about that in that book, as well as the upcoming Complete Idiot's Guide to WordPress. But also, you can get a lot of information on my site on about.com. I write about blogging for about.com. And one of the things that I recommend with themes, particularly with WordPress, is there are a lot of free themes out there. But if you do invest under $100, sometimes under $50 for a premium theme, you can get something that's guaranteed to be coded very well. And that is, it gives your brand a more distinct appearance and image online because it doesn't look like every other website out there. So for differentiation and branding purposes, I would definitely recommend getting a premium theme. I love elegantthemes.com.
Okay.
That's one of my favorites. And then you can hire a freelance web designer for under $500, under $300 sometimes. You can get customization that will give your brand the differentiation that it needs to position it in the online space.
And what's your thinking around some of those kind of, you know, like you're talking about premium themes there, but there's kind of the premium theme framework ones that are a bit different, kind of like Thesis and that kind of thing. Have you got much experience with them, and are they a good option for people, or do you think they're better off getting something completely unique rather than using one of those frameworks and trying to adapt it themselves, as it were, which is one of the selling points of the themes like Thesis, that you can personalize within a standard theme, as it were?
Yeah, and Thesis is a premium theme. It's basically, there are three types of WordPress themes: free, premium, which are ones that usually will sell for under $100, like Thesis. iThemes.com offers them as well. There are tons of websites or designers that offer premium themes. Thesis is one of them. Thesis is great. Its reputation is known for being really good with integrating search engine optimization. It's definitely one that I would recommend. There are a variety of premium theme developers. And if you do a Google search for WordPress premium themes, you'll find a lot of them. And then the next step up would be custom theme, which is something that someone codes from the ground up just for your business. For most small businesses, I don't recommend that because it's a lot more expensive and it's really not necessary. There are so many amazing premium themes out there that you can customize that it's really all that you need.
And the one thing that I really like about WordPress is the ability to get the add-ons via plugins. And I know in the past we've covered in the podcast, you know, some recommendations for the plugins that we rate for WordPress. What are some of your favourite ones out there that you kind of, Susan, if you were setting up a brand new WordPress blog, that you'd always be considering from a kind of plugin perspective for WordPress?
Well, this is definitely something that I talk about a lot in my books and on about.com blogging, which is that there are some plugins that can help you build traffic, some that can help you ease maintenance and automate functions. There are some that can help you monetize your site. So it kind of depends on what you want to do with your site. I would say one of the top plugins that I would recommend would be, of course, the retweet button from tweetmem.com, which allows people to share your posts with their own audiences, as well as the Share This plugin. Again, these are plugins that for businesses are very important because you're trying to spread your messages and get in front of the largest audiences possible. So enabling people with a quick click of the mouse to share your content with their own audiences helps build that brand buzz and word of mouth marketing that you need. Now, at the same time, I'll also point out that there are two different versions of WordPress. At WordPress.com is the free version hosted by WordPress, where you cannot use plugins unless you pay for upgrades. And then the free WordPress.org, which you need to pay for your own hosting service through someone like Bluehost.com or GoDaddy.com. So what I always recommend to small business owners who are new to blogging and WordPress, of course, you can build your entire website on it and make changes on the fly instead of hiring a web developer to make minor changes for you all the time. So I always recommend go out, get a free blog on WordPress.com. Just play around with it. You can delete it later. You can make it private so no one sees it. Start to understand how WordPress works. And then when you feel pretty confident with how you set up pages, how you set up posts, it's all very intuitive. Once you're comfortable with that, then move over and start building your own business blog and website using the version on WordPress.org, because then it won't be as overwhelming for you.
And you talked about using Twitter there as a means of generating traffic. And I can imagine in your book, in the social media marketing and the kind of 30-minute guide there that you're talking about, that's a big part of the topic that you cover there. Do you think that Twitter works for most businesses, or is it only really kind of certain organizations that it is a good match for?
I think it can work to generate different kinds of results for any business. There are some businesses like NakedPizza.com that built huge businesses completely using Twitter. There are other businesses that use it well to build relationships and build their brand across the social web. So I see Twitter very much as a long-term relationship building and brand building tool, which you can then supplement with short-term tactics, kind of like Naked Pizza does with offering discounts and short-term promotions through its Twitter feed. So if you look at it,
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Solely as a revenue generating tool, that I don't recommend doing that. I recommend using it as a brand building tool and then supplementing it with the short-term tactics.
Yeah, and I think you're probably right there that it's kind of, there's a way it can work for everyone, but don't assume that what works for one business will automatically work for another one there. I mean, so I know for a long time Twitter's been the kind of new kid on the block for, you know, where people are, you know, talking about it as a means to promote your business. And the ones that seem to be coming up a little bit more now in those kind of conversations about the next big thing are more of the location based networks like Foursquare and GoWalla, and the fact that now you can do that in Facebook places. Do you think that for smaller businesses, that it's those kind of location based networks that will actually have the biggest impact on them rather than LinkedIn or Twitter or sort of general Facebook? It'll be these ones that are more geographically focused that are going to have the more significant impact in the long term.
You actually make a very good point in that those geo-targeting and localized marketing is so hot right now, particularly with the introduction of Foursquare. And marketing, it really is going to change dramatically over the next few years. It's going to be really interesting to see how it shifts, because more and more people every day are purchasing and using smartphones. And you even see a consumer audience who's moving from PC and doing everything from their smartphones now. So the opportunity for localized marketing through Foursquare and a mobile app is huge. It's just a matter of figuring out how best to leverage that and opportunity. And it's so early that no one knows the recipe for success yet. But is Foursquare a great idea for local businesses? Definitely. There are businesses that will tweet share on Foursquare, if you check in at our location, we'll give you a discount. This is a great idea for a small business, because if you can build an audience of people who follow you on Foursquare, now they're learning how they can get these discounts and sharing them with other people. So it's a huge opportunity, and I definitely would recommend for localized businesses checking it out.
And for all those ones, kind of like, I imagine, you know, from my understanding of how your approach, that you kind of recommend that they come back to that branded location in some shape or form, and we were talking about a blog being a potential branded location in that sense, how do you recommend, Susan, coming up with ideas for that content? You talked about the shareable content. How do you kind of come up with the ideas to produce something that people really want to share with their peers and their friends and their colleagues?
Well, I think you have to look at it in a couple of different ways. First, your key to success is publishing meaningful, useful content, not self-promoting. I suggest using the 80-20 rule of marketing when it comes to your activity on the social web. No matter how much time you spend on a given day, 80% or more of that time should be on non-self-promotional activities, just engaging with other people, sharing other people's content, while 20% or less should be self-promotional. That's a good balance to keep so that you're welcome to the party, basically. Because if you were in a real live networking situation and you were talking with someone and all they did was talk about themselves, you wouldn't want to talk to them anymore. You'd try to avoid them. Mm-hmm. But if it's an engaging conversation, then they will want to hang out with you and they'll want to share your stories with other people. Blogs are great for creating amazing shareworthy content because you can tell more of your story or give more details. Not everybody likes to blog, though, and not everybody finds writing easy. So that's why the social web is such a great opportunity for small business owners, because if you don't like to blog and you know you're never going to be a blogger, well, then you can use Twitter. Again, back to nakedpizza.com, they use Twitter extremely successfully as their core branded online destination for social conversations and sharing. So in terms of coming up with content, it's really just putting yourselves in the audience's shoes and creating content that would be meaningful or useful to them. And you don't have to feel like every single thing you publish online is one of what would be referred to a piece of pillar content, meaning it's your best content. Some of your content is just going to be engaging and interacting, but you need to offer enough of that amazing shareworthy content that it will start spreading and people will start sharing it with their own audiences. It's what I call the compounding effect of blogging, but it really can work with any tools of the social web. But with blogging, it's so great because imagine you have a website with 10 pages. All right, that's 10 entry points for Google to find your site. Now imagine you write a blog attached to that website and you write a new post every day for a year. Now you have 365 plus 10 entry points for Google to find you. Mm-hmm. Now imagine a lot of that content is amazing, share-worthy, great content that your audience that you've built up from slowly connecting with them across the social web and bringing them back to your core brand of destination. Now imagine your audience likes what you write. They share it with their own audiences. They tweet it. They share it on Facebook. They write about it on their own blogs and link back. Now you've got incoming links from across the social web driving even more traffic and more entry points to your core branded destination where people can learn more about you and further build a relationship with you. This is an amazing opportunity, and you can do it all for free. It's something that a small business owner in particular would be crazy to pass up.
Yeah, no, I think you're really right. There is that kind of, it's a huge opportunity, and actually what makes it so huge is the fact it's so democratic and pretty much anyone can take advantage. It's just time that's required rather than budget. So it'll be the businesses that are most inventive and original and, you know, that can kind of come up with good ideas that will do the best rather than those who have the biggest, you know, wallets and the biggest kind of cash to spend on an advertising campaign like you might have had in the past. So no, I mean, I really enjoy that. And that's kind of a big part of the reason why we run this podcast is to try and help people kind of gain that knowledge. And one of the books, Susan's, that I've seen you've written that I'm interested to read and find out more about was your book about Harry Potter. Could you talk a bit more about that and kind of the idea behind that book and the logic behind that?
Sure. That's actually a book that was written. I tried to write it in a way that anyone would enjoy and learn about marketing based on the Harry Potter brand. But the purpose was for a marketing professional audience or marketing students to teach them how this little book about a boy wizard turned into one of the most powerful and recognized brands in the world. And it's a really interesting story if you go from start to finish, and it proves one of the things that I always tell people, my clients, and in presentations I'm giving, is that consumers build brands, not companies. Companies can put messages out there, nudge conversations in the right direction, but it's not until a consumer experiences a brand, develops expectations for it, and has perceptions of it that a brand is truly built. So Harry Potter is an excellent example of how that happens. And add on top of that, the fact that the social web played such an important part in building the Harry Potter brand by enabling people to experience it in their own ways. It's just a really exciting story and a great way to learn about that can be applied to any business. So that was the purpose of the book.
And so, I mean, so what's the kind of lesson that, okay, I'm a small business owner, you know, I really want to build my business, get more sales, get more people crossing the threshold and coming into my store, or, you know, ringing up on the phone. What can we learn kind of like as a small takeaway from the Harry Potter successes that we can action as a small business owner to kind of try and learn from the successes of J.K. Rowling and her global phenomenon that she's been behind there?
I think one of the most specific and immediately actionable things that you can learn from the Harry Potter story is to not try to control the online conversation. When Harry Potter fan blogs and fan websites started coming up originally, J.K. Rowling and Scholastic, the publisher, sent cease and desist letters. They tried to stop people from experiencing the Harry Potter brand in their own ways. Very quickly, they realized, wait a minute, if we give up control of the conversation and let these people experience the brand the way they want to, the growth that we'll see will be so much greater than if we try to control things. So they gave up control, allowed people to take the brand and run with it in their own ways across the social web. The rest is history, really. How many people learned about Harry Potter from an ad or a marketing piece? Very, very few. The vast majority learned through word of mouth marketing, and it was allowed to grow to such a huge, powerful thing thanks to the conversation on the social web. For small business owners, it can be very scary to give up control. In my book, 30 Minute Social Media Marketing, I provide three ways that you can react to a negative online conversation about your brand. You can either fight it, you can, I call it the three F's: fight, flight, or flood. Fight it, respond to it, get involved in the conversation. Flight, which would be ignore it, consider the source. Where is this negativity coming from? Ignoring it and letting it just go away mm-hmm. might be the best option, or flood, which basically is flood the internet with your amazing shareworthy content and bury those negative results mm-hmm. in Google searches. So that's the biggest takeaway for small business owners, is give up control, let the conversation happen.
Brilliant. No, I think that's some real great advice there, Susan. And you know, I know that you know you're an expert in a huge variety of different areas there, and it's great to see someone like you sharing that knowledge with people, so they can learn from that and market their own businesses, you know, very cost effectively and very inventively. No, so brilliant. Really, really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150. And you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.